Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Really good about being back in the NFL.
And the right kind of guy for May, who floats one and open. Stephon Diggs down near the 10-yard line of Carolina.
Stephon Diggs returning to Buffalo, this time with the New England Patriots, who are 2-2 and have not looked the worst coming into this season. Although expectations, Derek, for them were to be better.
Their highs are high, but their lows are pretty low, though.
Yeah,
too.
Their lows are low. That is absolutely correct.
5 turnovers in a game in where the defense keeps Pittsburgh to 2 scores, and you still lose that football game. That's tough. Especially there were 2 goal line turnovers in there, an interception and a fumble. You limit the Steelers to 7 points on the first 4 turnovers that you committed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one more, and they finally scored another touchdown off of it. So, yeah, their lows are pretty low. 5 turnovers in the game. But then, they beat the snot out of Carolina. Or they look really fascinating. And they get themselves a tough win against Miami. But then you also lost to the Raiders. You're the only team to do that now.
You're the only team to make the Raiders even look
competent.
Yeah, yeah. Pete Carroll, I kind of thought he'd bring something to the Raiders a little bit.
It's not Pete Carroll that's my biggest problem with the Raiders.
No, it's really the group, but I didn't realize the group was that bad.
Yes, but it is one of these things where they are as inconsistent as a 2-2 team would be. Their record has as many wins as losses. That makes sense. Whereas the Bills...
Drake May.
The Bills have had a lot of teams where it is just, okay, get through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think New England's going to be more interesting than that. Over the last 2 weeks, Zach, one of my messages was the Miami game. It can't be that easy, right? And the Saints game, it was. I did think that it was not going to be a football game. This one, I don't think these things. This one feels different to me. And it has to do with the fact that the Patriots have been building a little bit more right now as of late. They do have a quarterback that does seem pretty good. But I also know that their roster's not complete yet. They have a lot of work still to do, particularly on the offensive line.
And also, their last few drafts, really outside of May, you're seeing it. They are really cutting bait.
They're cutting bait early on a lot of these players, and it makes sense. But it just shows, yeah, you're not done yet. You're not done taking that step toward being, you know, part of the big boys club. But a team like this is plucky enough to win a game against the Bills. It all depends on what the Bills themselves are going to do in this one. It depends on how capable are they of being consistent themselves. The Bills have played a C level game for 2 weeks in a row and still won by 2 scores. I don't think that New England allows you to get away with that again, as opposed to Miami. Or if you win this game, it is by 1 score, it's by 7 points or something like that. But I also think that the Bills are looking at themselves and going, we can play better than this. Because they have the opportunity to do that and nitpick through wins. You are 4-0, but we have some work to do.
I know that was a big conversation after the Baltimore game, is you get the best of both worlds. You still are 1-0, but you also can now dissect all of the problems you had. Or I know Bill Belichick, this is a thing that I think is famous. Or no, I'm sorry, not Belichick, Nick Saban. Lane Kiffin talked about this, now current head coach at Ole Miss, that Saban was harder on them after wins than he was losses. Losses, is you're going to take it from the media anyways.
Correct.
We're already in with a loss. A win, he was harder on them about. And so maybe it's been the same thing with the Bills, where, yeah, they're 4-0. But I've mentioned it with listeners on Twitter, and I've even said here, I can't imagine the Bills are happy with their defensive performance.
No.
Can't imagine the Bills are happy they gave up 3 sacks to the Saints.
And now here comes the interesting catch-22 on this. Like, yeah, they scored 42 points this past Sunday against Carolina. Does that mean I have to take them that much more seriously, for example, though?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is the reactionary way to go about this. I do look at this as a Patriots team that, hey, let's see which weakness shines more here this weekend. The Bills' run defense? Or the fact that the New England Patriots can only average 101 yards on the ground a game? Their best runner averages 31 yards per contest. And that's Stevenson, who fumbles.
He's already got 2 this year. I don't know if it's lost, it's just fumbles.
It is lost, both of those.
Okay. Yeah.
And Gibson fumbled as well against Pittsburgh. But that's my thing is, can your weaknesses really be ignored for a week? Can you do it like you did with the Jets? And the Bills can. The Patriots don't run the ball necessarily well. Drake May's having a great season. It's because they can't run the football. So there's opportunity there to at least, hey, those run defense concerns, we can at least put them to bed for a week against a team that can't run the football.
You hope you put them to bed for a week.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah.
The third down defensive problem. Try to make sure you can frustrate Drake May. The pass rush, not getting home and finishing. Their pressure numbers are good, but it's about, oh, it's the hurries, not the pressures. The hurries are good. Pressure has to be better. The finish has to be there. The sacks have to be there. You're facing New England. May's taken 13 already. Do not let it be like Miami, where you hit a quarterback one time. This is opportunities to at least smooth some of the rough parts of your game. New England is good enough to keep up with you. But this is, until we get to Kansas City, this is my central message. You're the better team. Play like it.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. Adam is first up here. Adam, how are we doing this morning?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to talk about the luck component to this. Like every team every year has some degree of luck, whether it's with injuries or even look at the Kansas City Chiefs last year. How many games did we look at where it's like they should have lost?
100%.
I mean, we are a Kyle Hamilton blocked field goal and 2 roughing the punters away from being 1-3 right now, and we're 4-0. I mean, honestly, like, you know, both of those roughing the punter penalties came at very, very critical times. And if the Dolphins and the Saints get the ball back instead of roughing our punter, I mean, there's a good probability that they score and they seal the game. I mean, Brandon Cooks was wide open. Cole Bishop blew an assignment and Spencer Rattler misses him. So I think we really need to just, like, enjoy the fact that, like, for once it might be that luck is on our side, and like, let's just go with it. You know, I mean, I'm sure, like, the team is playing C plus football and we're still winning and we're still putting up 31 points. And that kind of brings me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Into my next comment, just in terms of the offense, just wanted your guys' opinion on this. I feel like we're so not creative with the passing game, and I just don't understand why. You see this all the time. You know, with like your Shanahan offenses or like your McVay offenses, they scheme guys open. And it seems like, you know, we saw a little bit of this with the Kincaid touchdown pass this past weekend. Why are we not doing more of that? I really can't understand what our passing game philosophy is. You know, you watch Keon Coleman, like every single route, he's like just running down the field 12 yards and he turns around to the quarterback and that's really kind of it. So I just wanted your guys' opinion on the passing game. I'll hang up and I'll listen. Thanks.
Adam, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Adam.
Starting with the luck component, I think that's just for a lot of NFL teams. You see that in most games. They're all very close for the most part. There are some blowouts where all of a sudden the turnovers, you know, stack up, teams steal possessions, and all of a sudden it's 42-13. I think that was New England and Carolina's score. But for the most part, a lot of these games end up being very close, even if the spreads have teams at like 9.5-point favorites, what have you. So, yeah, luck plays a big part in it. The teams and the differences between them are not that large. It's where quarterbacks come into being the biggest equalizer for all of this is if you have a great quarterback, a less-than team all of a sudden becomes a good or great team. In terms of the passing offense, at least for this year, I don't think we need to see a lot from them just yet. It's September, and they're playing ultimately a less-than schedule. They're not having to really go into their bag of tricks and scheme guys open and put a ton on tape. I think that's a big part of that, that, well, a team I don't think will ever outright say because it would signify that they're playing down to an opponent, and we already saw what happened when Robert Saleh said something that I don't ultimately think was all that egregious when he said, yeah, Jacksonville and Liam Cohen are very good at getting team signs. He said sign stealing, but ultimately the thing with Michigan and what Stallions, whatever his name is, his biggest problem was that he did it illegally. He went to practices.
Right.
And he went to games where he was not supposed to. But sign stealing is not necessarily illegal. People don't like hearing it because it sounds bad, but it's not necessarily illegal. Robert Saleh even said that. But Liam Cohen freaked out. And so that's the thing. None of these coaches are going to try to put their, you know, foot in their mouth and go, oh, yeah, I mean, look, we played the Saints. You guys saw it. We were 14.5-point favorites on FanDuel. We're going to show everything? Really? No one's going to say that or even say it nicely. Why put stuff on tape that a team like Kansas City is going to play you in a few weeks has seen?
And I'm not even going to accuse the Bills of being like that team to take a team lightly, but they did mess with their roster for the Saints game more than any game that they have this year.
Benford's already down, or all of a sudden down. Curtis Samuel goes in. They've moved around with the defensive line a little bit.
Yeah, or it's simply, hey, let's put like no Codrington today.
Mm-hmm.
And McDermott says after the game, we're looking for the best players that we have for this team for the season. You picked this game. I'm not accusing anything, but the timing's awfully interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the other part, the luck that Adam brings up. I would love some of the Kansas City Chiefs devil magic from last year. Actually, it'd be great.
That's the thing, too. And I've heard from a lot of callers, just obviously working the afternoon show and then even here, mentioning that like the Chiefs were winning games in way worse fashion last year.
Yeah.
And still got to a Super Bowl. Like they could not score. They genuinely had to have last-minute moments.
Blocked field goal, fumbled snap by the Raiders.
What have you.
Like, overtime against the Panthers. Mm-hmm.
They were genuinely surviving by the skin of their teeth. Some games did look good. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, the Bills had to play them close last year. And ultimately, the Bills have to go for it on a fourth down, turns into the play of the year, but they have to do that to really close the door on them. And Derek, you've mentioned it though. They're winning by 12 against the Saints. They're winning by 10 against Miami. Most normal games, you cover the spread comfortably and you're like, yeah, all right, cool, sweet. Got out of there, ended it late, perfect. If the Bills were playing, and this is, it's a big thing that I'm kind of wrestling with too. If the Bills were playing perfect in September, isn't that kind of a bad thing? If you're playing your best football in September.
Right.
It's probably not a good thing. Saints last year lighting the league on fire for like the first month or so, and they completely tailspin. Even right now, look at this. Green Bay looks incredible through the first 2 weeks. They then lose to Cleveland and tie Dallas. And now all of a sudden, they've gone down a little bit.
The Kansas City Chiefs last year, and I'm not accusing the Bills of being this because they're winning a little bit prettier than the Chiefs did all of last year. Until their first loss against Buffalo in Week 11, they have two games that don't end in one score. There's your telltale sign that it is not the same thing.
Yeah, Bills have already surpassed that.
The Bills have already surpassed that, but also it does seem like it's more comfortable even when they're not playing their best game. It's more comfortable at the end of the day. I don't worry necessarily about this because I do think that ultimately the better team will win the football game. Is that arrogant of me? Yes. I'm not on the team, though.
Right. I'm not on the team.
I also do think that it allows me to have a little bit of this because that's what cheering for a good team is. You should expect these things. You shouldn't be worried when the analysts pick the Bills to have a sweep against New Orleans. There should be a little bit of this arrogance. And there should also be a little bit of the, okay, I don't love what I just saw. But then you look over and go, still won by two scores. All right.
Well, yeah, and I will say to the caller's point,
they didn't
play
pretty, and they still won by two scores.
Yeah, I will say to the caller's point, though, too. Yeah, come later in the season, I do want to see more guys getting schemed open. I do all of a sudden want to see, like, all right, you're in your bag of tricks. Like, here we go.
And what do the Bills do with this group now, with this era? They turn it on after October.
They
really do. Even the year that put us through hell, 2023, they turn it on after they hit 6-6. We're thinking McDermott could get fired at this point. The Dunn article gets dropped. Like, it's chaos. Hell in a handbasket. What do? Last 2 months of the year, they do what they do, which is refuse to lose in December and January. It is an outright refusal from them. This team knows when to turn it on. The only difference between this year and last year is there's no losses already.
And arguably, their tougher games are going to be later in the season. It's going to be an interesting November, December for them with, you know, Eagles and even Chiefs and stuff like that. Should be fun. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock. Sabres pregame tonight at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop at home against Pittsburgh. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.